You know, it used to be said that religion is the opioid of the masses, and now opiates are the opioids of the masses. The other day I had a colonoscopy, and the drug that is often used for sedation during colonoscopies is propofol. And I'd had it once before many years ago, and they told me that I would wake up happy. And the first time I had it, it was okay. And then this last week when I had it, they start to inject it. And first they injected lidocaine, and then after that, they pulled up the other syringe to start putting it in, and the anesthesiologist said, "This is the happy juice." And they call it that because one of the side effects of propofol is that it stimulates your pleasure center. And a lot of people wake up smiling. And I was reading an account the other day that one woman woke up in the middle of her colonoscopy and she stared at the anesthesiologist and said, "This is the most wonderful day of my life." And anyway, so I get out after the colonoscopy and I actually wake up laughing. And I was giggling for the next half hour. And I was joking with the nurse that I would be glad to schedule another appointment for tomorrow. And I'm not a giggler. This got me thinking about, of course, about Soma and about Brave New World. And I mean, I think it's great that if you have to have a colonoscopy, that one has a drug that gives you positive side effects, as opposed to back in the 80s when perhaps they would give you a nurse's hand to hold and a towel to chew on. So this is much better. But it does have me thinking about the social effects of this, and it makes me think about, I read this article several years ago about how they had developed some drug that when they give it to apes, the apes would then be willing to perform repetitive tasks without getting bored and without complaining. And so it strikes me, I'm a bit surprised that the capitalists and those in charge have not manufactured some sort of propofol equivalent that they can give to people, because I think if people were on this 24 hours a day, there would be no revolution ever. And I was saying this to a friend of mine who just looked at me and said, "Derek, what do you think television is? And gosh, Derek, what do you think the internet is?" And I was talking about this to another friend who then said, "Gosh, Derek, what do you think opioids are?" You know, it was said at one point that religion is the opioid of the masses. And I think today, opiates are the opioids of the masses. Or as my friend said, opioids are the religion of the masses at this point. And I'm just thinking about what has been said so often about so many drugs, about how we can talk about them as, you know, I'm thinking specifically of the mood or mind-altering drugs and how they can be, they have been used traditionally by some peoples at least as gifts from nature for a way to connect with the natural world and to connect with those around them, and have been used ceremonially. And I've been thinking about how that is kind of the standard for this culture, that what this culture does is takes everything that has some sort of sacrality and some sort of connection to the spiritual, and then mass produces it, commercializes it, and removes the connection to the spiritual and turns it into a form of entertainment or a way, as they say, to neutralize oppressive reality. I was rereading some Aldous Huxley, coincidentally, a couple of weeks ago, and thinking about how right he is that this is not a direct quote, but sort of a summation that, you know, it's very interesting to put 1984 on one hand and Brave New World on the other. And I have seen analyses where people argue back and forth as to whether the future is, as Orwell said in 1984, a boot stamping on a human face forever, or whether it is basically everybody drugged out and pharmaceutically induced happy slaves. And I don't think that it is either or. I think that the truth is that it's a combination of those and Mumford's Magnificent Bribe is what leads us to the end of the world. That you have the open face of repression for when, well, let's end with that one. You have the first option is what Lewis Mumford called the Magnificent Bribe, which is that in exchange for allowing the system, or we buy into the system because it gives us all sorts of rewards. And so long as and what the system demands of us is that we take whatever it will give us in whatever quantities that it will give them to us. So we get ice cream 24/7, but it demands that we ask nothing that the system cannot provide. So you can have access to ice cream 24/7, but you can never see a wild passenger pigeon. You can never see wild salmon. You can never see rivers so full that you can never see a living planet because that's what it costs. And you get to have access to all of these goodies, but you don't get to have a democratic governance system. So the Magnificent Bribe is sort of the first line of defense. And the second line of defense is also there is pharmacology to help us if either we are not able to buy into the bribe, or if for whatever reason the bribe isn't fully working for us, or if we don't have the means to buy into, I mean, not literally, buy into the bribe, then there's pharmacology to keep us there, by which I mean, as I said before, neutralizing oppressive reality. And then when that doesn't work for whatever reason, then what remains behind is always the boot stamping on the human face forever, which is why we can talk about pharmacology till we're blue in the face, and that doesn't alter the fact that the U.S. military has to stay huge, because at some point somebody's got to steal the resources. So leave it to me to take a drug that made me wake up giggling and laughing, and within 6 or 7 minutes, turn that into a discussion of the end of the world.